T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, as Al Michaels once said, do you believe in miracles? This has to be one of them, some divine intervention from my hero from above, Bruno Sammartino. So I get here today after a long day of social media at the home office, and then here at the place that we love to call the plant, getting ready to go to work, had a little bit of downtime. So I turn on the television at the conference room here at Odyssey 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDK, and there it was, Inside Edition, a young man from this region, Stephen Fabian, according to Larry, a Plum grad, doing a piece, Inside Edition, on Larry, Daryl Sammartino, the movie, of course, produced by the folks that you're going to meet one in just a moment, Larry, Bruno Sammartino. And you know how much love I have for him, obviously the Bruno and Carol Sammartino Foundation, everything that's Bruno. And I'm just going to say this before Larry takes over. I have been a fan of wrestling since I was a kid. Saturday nights, grandmother's house, watching it. And she giving me a couple of cups of coffee. Probably shouldn't, because I was already jazzed up enough. But I was clinging from the curtains watching my hero, Bruno. And whenever he would make an appearance with Bill Cardill, that was like the red carpet. It was the Academy Awards. It was everything. But that really rolled into Ric Flair and others. And, of course, Rowdy Piper, Vince McMahon, the WWE. Still a fan of it, but the man that laid the groundwork, 188 times he sold out Madison Square Garden, more than Billy Joel, more than the Stones, is Bruno Sammartino. So before we talk about his golf outing that's going to be happening at that beautiful trek of golf that is the Longview Golf Club, the best scenery anywhere in the burg, we're going to talk about that in our next segment. But Larry, I'm literally speechless. I don't even know how to say anything other than it was one of those wow moments in my life sitting there. And it was the perfect timing. Literally, as I was channel surfing, I hit channel and I selected E! Entertainment Live and boom, there it was. Tell me about this piece and how it came about. And it was put together absolutely wonderful. Good evening.
Well, it turns out that, as you mentioned, Stephen Fabian is from Pittsburgh and knows Daryl Sammartino, Bruno's son, and we were flying in December of 2020 to Manhattan, to Greenwich Village, to screen Bruno Sammartino, the authorized biography documentary, and it was to qualify for the Academy Awards. So we submitted for feature documentary the movie, and we went from there to California the following day and screened it out in Santa Monica in Los Angeles. And while we were in New York City, we were invited to do Inside Edition. And it turns out the producer is somebody who has a similar story about an Italian-American, his grandmother, and living through the trials and tribulations of World War II, and to make it to America and to have an opportunity. So Bruno, as you well know, Rob, at age 13, comes to this country from war-torn Italy after running from the Nazis. His mother, this heroic figure that saved his brother, Paul, and Mary, who just passed recently, their lives and other villagers by risking her life to get food for 14 months in the middle of nowhere as the Nazis occupied their village, only to come to this village in Oakland and 75-pound weakling gets bullied, beat up, and doesn't know the language. And this Jewish fellow takes him to the Jewish Y in Pittsburgh and says, Bruno, you need to start learning how to defend yourself. You're going to lift weights. And Bruno said once he started lifting weights, he knew right then and there that that was his passion. And so we all know that he eventually became literally the strongest man in the world and was the top champion for the WWF and then eventually the WWE. And then we wanted to tell this story because nobody knew. I mean, everybody in Pittsburgh knew Bruno Sammartino, let's face it, growing up. Even if you didn't follow wrestling, you knew Bruno Sammartino. And I have three brothers, and we all wanted to be Bruno at some point. Wrecked a lot of furniture in the process. I always tell people, my mom would come out to the backyard and say, on a Saturday, it's almost done, and we'd run in. We'd have chips and B&L French onion dip and a 7-ounce bottle of Coke, and we were in heaven watching Jumpin' Johnny DeFazio, who recently passed, and Bruno Sammartino take on Professor Tanaka or George the Animal Steel.
Great stuff.
And so Inside Edition, they just kind of fell in love. And we thought, well, you know, Bruno's an older champion and he's passed. It was 3 years, April 18th, that we lost him. And it was amazing the reaction that they got from doing this long extended piece about Bruno. So I posted a picture, and you know, social media stuff comes and goes. I posted a picture of Bruno Sammartino, who met Bruno Mars in Pittsburgh, and Bruno Mars was named after Bruno because his dad was a big fan. So Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, and Jimmy Sacco, who manages Heinz Field, arranged this meeting, and I was there 30 minutes before the show. Bruno meets Bruno. The next day, the picture goes viral, and every news outlet is calling Bruno Sammartino saying, "This is true?" And I said, "Champ, you're back on top. You went viral." He said, "What's viral? What does that mean?" I said, "That's a good thing." So the piece that you saw in Inside Edition was a great hook because it really, in short form, told the story. And then we were set to release this documentary last year. We were all set at Heinz Hall for a Pittsburgh premiere last May. So it literally a year ago, probably tonight, we would have been doing that, but obviously COVID wiped that out. So now we're anticipating next week, and at some point we'll announce some kind of distribution opportunity. But what a story to share with the world of somebody who overcame so much and appreciated being an American and being a Pittsburgher and always lifted up people who said that my fans spend their hard-earned money to see me. I will do everything I can to accommodate them, and you know that's true. So, yeah, I'm very proud to have and honored to have a chance to have known Bruno. And then last Friday in Ross Township, they named a park after him.
I saw that.
But the picture I posted on the 18th, Rob, I got 17,000 views.
Wow.
17,000.
Oh, my.
And that tells you that people still appreciate it. So we're excited to share his story because it's not even as much a wrestling story as it's just a triumph of human desire. And people often ask, where did you get your spirit and your heart? And he would always say, my mother had the heart of a lion, and everything I did in my life was to make her feel like her sacrifice was worth it. How powerful is that?
Listen, we're going to continue to talk about him. Look, I know you need to get some sleep. You're going to be back in a few hours here, but this is so important. And I got to tell you, I was so moved watching this few minutes before I went on the air tonight that I was talking to Rick Dayton about it. And the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up and I was trembling. Do me a favor, before we go to break, I want you to just set the stage again. And we've talked about this before and Bruno's discussed it with us before. And it's still so hard to believe that he's no longer with us. Very surreal to think about it. But talk about that moment when they were literally seconds away from dying and the strength of his mother as Mother's Day approaches. And we've often said, no one will ever love you like your mother. What she was doing to comfort her children staring death in the face. Larry.
Well, I have to thank Ken and Sharon Brown, who are here in Pittsburgh, that shot and edited a lot of the original, which we aired on KDK-TV on Mother's Day. I believe it was 6 or 7 years ago. But 30 years ago, when I had my TV show on KDK in the morning, Bruno was booked for the show, and he sat down next to me, and all I knew about Bruno was his wrestling life. And there he was live on television, and he told me the story about the Nazis had discovered where they were hiding, and they were lined up to be executed with a machine gunner. And his mother grabbed him, his sister, Mary, and brother Paul, and put them under her arms and said, "Don't worry, we'll never be hungry again. We'll never be cold. We're going to be in paradise with Jesus together." And just then, one of the resistance fighters from the village had followed the Germans and overtook them and stabbed the guy, the two Germans that were at the guns, and saved them. Ugh. And I thought to myself, why doesn't anybody talk about this story when they talk about Bruno Sammartino and the horrors of the war of those nights? He was afraid of the dark even late into his adulthood because of what he witnessed, and what he overcame in this country and gave back was pretty remarkable.
Larry, think about this. How many nights he traveled worldwide, and he did that for decades in those hotel rooms, because Bruno truly was an amazing man of faith and family, and how he had to go to bed at night with those thoughts. Can you imagine dealing with that your entire life?
No, and I was there in the spot where they hid. We took him back, which would have been at the time 67 years after he was there, and he promised he would never go back. But the late Marty Lazzaro was key in engineering this visit to create the original documentary, and to witness this and see and have him retell the horrors was so overwhelming and emotional for the entire village of Pizza Farad, which is a pinprick on the top of the Apennine Mountains in Abruzzo. It was an absolute remarkable experience.
We're going to come back. I'm going to just keep Larry around for a little bit in this hour, because I want to focus more on the legend of Bruno and why people who may not know of his legend need to understand he was a worldwide phenomenon. Stay with us. All right, we're talking to Larry Richard, the documentary Bruno Sammartino, getting some new details hopefully next week on when we can all kind of check this thing out. We've been waiting so long. But Larry is here, and we're going to talk about his golf outing coming up at Longview Golf Club in probably about 15, 20 minutes. But I really want to focus on the significance of this documentary and Bruno. And Bruno was everything to me growing up. And I told Larry during the break, I'm realizing now that I wasn't the only one who felt that way about him, and not just people from Pittsburgh. But the question is, if it's not for Larry and I'm and Daryl and the Sammartino family, their incredible mother, and late Dan, of course, this story is not told. So there's so much as far as connecting the dots here, as far as, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, another hero of mine, but more importantly, how Larry Richard came to know Bruno Sammartino. So how did that happen, Larry?
Well, my producer, Roger Shepard, back when I had the Wake Up Show on KDK TV in the morning, said, "We booked Bruno Sammartino," and I was so excited because I was a big fan. Now, this is 31 years ago, and Bruno at that point was, you know, in his early 50s, so he had just come off the circuit. Remember, he was also a commentator with Vince McMahon on WWE in its early TV days. So after he was done wrestling, I was so excited, and when he came on the show, prior to that, I told my father-in-law, the late Dan Marino Sr., I said, "I got Bruno Sammartino coming on." He goes, "I went to Schenley High School with Bruno." I said, "What?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, he lived around the corner on Cato Street in Oakland."
That's amazing.
I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" He goes, "No." And when Bruno, before we went on the air, I said, my father-in-law says, "Hello." He said, "Oh, who's that?" I said, "Dan Marino Sr." He goes, "Oh, my God, Danny." Well, it turns out the Marinos are from the same town in Italy, a Pizza Farad.
Really?
And Mr. Marino's dad was burned to death in the J&L mill, which sits now where the Southside Works is, when Mr. Marino was two. So he was raised by his immigrant grandfather, who spoke no English. And Bruno and his grandfather became fast friends because they were from the same town.
Amazing.
From different generations, but could talk. So when I told Bruno that, we suddenly connected. And then he sat there, as I told you a few minutes ago, and told this tragic story about the Nazis killing a third of their village, men, women, and children. And they had to go further into the mountains with his mother, and she saved their lives many times by going back into their village under the cloak of darkness to get their own food with German soldiers in their own house. She was shot once, escaped, and survived and made it back to the mountain. This is 14 months since she made the trip almost every week. Bruno lived to honor his mother for her sacrifice. Now, his dad, during the war, was back here working. He had come here to get money and work in the mills prior to the war. The war broke out. Imagine he had no contact with his three children and wife for 3.5 years. None. And so once I heard this story, I was so moved by it. And I thought, no, people can't just know Bruno as some old-time wrestler, champion or not. They need to know the full story. And I was at an event a couple of years after that, and Bruno got an award. I was the MC, and he got up. He was so gracious and humble as always. And then we sat down, and I said, wait a minute. I shared the story about what happened to them in World War II and how he got here. And there was a guy in the audience, the late Marty Lazzaro, who was so moved by this story that he ended up wanting to meet Bruno, met him through Dr. Costa, and then they became friends, went back to Italy, and then started the process of documenting this story. So this has been now decades in the making. And we traveled the country. I was there in New York City at Madison Square Garden 2013 when he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And it was Dr. Joseph Maroon and Marty Lazzaro that helped broker the peace with Vince McMahon, because they were estranged for 27 years because of disagreements about how things should be handled with the wrestlers. And so Triple H helped broker the deal on the WWE side. We met Stephanie McMahon, and here we are. So Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I want to come and I want to introduce Bruno.
Hold that thought, because I got to get to a break. It only gets better. Plus, Larry's going to tell you about something I didn't know. Bruno, a Pittsburgh Steeler? That's coming up next. We continue to talk about the documentary, he, of course, and many others behind it, and we're waiting to see it, entitled Bruno Sammartino. Larry Richard, my guest, KDKA. You know, I have a bunch of questions, but listen, it's nowhere near as just letting him do what he does, talk. So, Larry, just go, man. Wherever you want to pick up this segment, I'm just a fan right now, like the rest of the audience, and I'm going to listen more about. Listen, all I want to know is, are we all going to be able to see this thing soon, do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I really do. We signed with Creative Arts Agency in Beverly Hills. They're working with the top documentary. He's the guy that heads that division for CAA. So I feel confident. He said, look, we're going to find a home for this, and people will be able to see it. They've waited so long. And believe me, nobody wants it out there more than me or Bruno's wife, Carol, or son, Daryl, who I've become very close with over the years. So the Arnold Schwarzenegger connection, I want to tell you two quick stories. One is, you'd be surprised. So a few years ago, we had Mike Tyson in the studio because he was promoting boxers. And I found out Mike Tyson's childhood hero was Bruno. So I called Bruno and I said, would you mind calling in and we'll surprise Mike? Sure, absolutely. So Mike Tyson, I said, Mike, we got a surprise for you. He looked at me like, where's this going? I said, there's somebody on the phone here that wants to say hello. And Bruno says, Mike, it's Bruno. And before he could even finish, Bruno, you hear, oh, my God, Bruno Sammartino, champ. How you doing? I remember you wrestled Professor Tanaka. Champ, you're unbelievable. And it went on and on. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, my.
Mike Tyson loves Bruno. And then we come to find out that Arnold Schwarzenegger was a fan. And when he was competing, and we went to the Arnold Classic in Columbus. It's held every March, I think the 32nd year, this past March. And Arnold was there and did an introduction for Bruno to the International Sports Hall of Fame, then said, I'm coming to New York. He talked to Triple H from the WWE, said, I want to introduce Bruno. So he flew all the way from California just from a movie set just to do this introduction. And he gets up in front of, it was packed to the rafters in Madison Square Garden. And he said, the first time I hear about Bruno Sammartino, I said, who is this guy, this judge? He's so demanding, he wants to know this move, that move. And they said, oh, that's Bruno, Arnold. He goes, you don't know Bruno? No, I don't know Bruno. So they said, we're going to take you to a match. They took him to the Garden. And Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I couldn't believe in Madison Square Garden, packed to the rafters. And Bruno Sammartino, he came out and he knew how to manipulate the audience. And he lifted guys 400-500 pounds over his head. And I thought, how is this possible? This is no trick. This is the real deal, Bruno Sammartino. He said, Bruno is the star of all stars. And that's what I wanted to get across in this film, is that people priceless. Like, you know, Arnold and these guys, they knew, and Bruno did it all legit, you know, no steroids. It was all natural, and he was a big proponent of, and he remained humble. Sometimes, you know, people would just talk and talk to him, and it would be, you know, you're with him. You're like, okay, Bruno, we got to go. But when we got to Italy, and the first time I went twice to his hometown, the Pizza Ferrad, and there was this woman, and she grabbed his cheeks, Rob, and she goes, Bruno Sammartino, Bruno Sammartino. And I said, Bruno, what did she say? She was so excited to see you. He was blushing. He said, she said to me, she named her first child, her son, after me, Bruno Sammartino Amaticus Diulis. And you have to know, Pizza Ferrato and the neighboring village, Gambarell, are two villages where most of the immigrants came to Panther Hollow in the first wave of immigration before the last century. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of Pittsburghers from that same region and a lot of people who went through similar horrors in World War II. So Bruno used to say, hey, we weren't the only family. There were many of us. But I want to represent and salute always my hometown, but also Pittsburgh. He could have lived anywhere.
I got to jump in here real quick because I want to focus on your golf outing, the last segment. But you can't let this last segment on Bruno slip away without mentioning about Ric Flair. And look, the 30 for 30, tremendous, huge fan of Ric Flair to this day. And as I mentioned, A&E has right now Rowdy Roddy Piper, who sadly is no longer with us. What a life he led. But in all of these wrestling documentaries and things that I have seen, I'll catch a glimpse of Bruno Sammartino at various stages in his career. As much as I mentioned earlier, I thought that it was Pittsburghers that loved Bruno as much as me, but the world embraced him, and as did the wrestling world. And everyone, past and present, in the Bruno era, post-Bruno, and even modern day, from Dwayne The Rock Johnson, incredible talent, his late father Rocky, and of course the greatest, Ric Flair, they all know the legend of Bruno. So tell the story about the airport and how you run into Ric Flair. This is fantastic. Go ahead.
So we were traveling, and we were coming back from the West and ended up changing planes in Detroit. And we were seated at the gate waiting for the plane that we were going to go to Pittsburgh on. And they were offloading passengers. And the first guy off was Ric Flair. And he sees Bruno, and Bruno sees him, and he goes, Ric, and he goes, Bruno. And all the people in the area there all of a sudden realize you've got Ric Flair and Bruno Sammartino right there at the gate. I mean, it was like it was meant to be. And all I wanted to do was go, woo! And they had talked and shared a moment, and then, of course, we moved on. So it was one of the many encounters that we had. And even at the airport, like in Rome, I could hear the soldiers who carry machine guns over there. They were, I could hear them saying, Bruno Sammartino, Bruno Sammartino. So they knew Bruno was there, and everybody kept an eye on him. And it was special to be a fly on the wall to how people reacted to him and how he treated everybody we met. It didn't matter if you were the president of a company or the person running the elevator, he treated everybody the same.
And let me just say this, because there's always been the entertainment value aspect of wrestling, and I get that. But let me just say this. Athlete, second to none, one of the most difficult sports, whether you call it entertainment or not, to compete in. You know, Ric Flair would always wrestle 1 hour, no matter where he went, even if he was flying to Japan and coming straight back and had, you know, matches on both ends of the flight, he gave them an hour. Bruno, all of these incredible athletes who have been injured and always found a way to rise above it and play through the pain, competitive. And when you're in front of a packed house at Madison Square Garden, entertainment or not, you've got to put on a show. And no one was beloved more in the place that is, well, if you can make it there, anyone can make it anywhere, New York. Talk about him and the love that the 10 million people who live in New York City had for Bruno. 188 times he sold out the historic Madison Square Garden. That, to me, is epic, Larry.
Arguably the greatest arena on earth. And there's nobody even close. I think Billy Joel just crossed 100 sellouts, and that was last year or maybe 18 months ago. But people just loved him. I mean, it was at a time where, yeah, the wrestling, it was choreographed to a degree, but it's extremely physical. I mean, he had his neck broken, almost was paralyzed. Dr. Joseph Maroon saved him from paralysis, and he's a guy here in Pittsburgh. So many intricacies to the story. But consistently, his kindness was what really resonated with me, and I loved that because everywhere we went, people just went crazy. There was a Secret Service agent who spent his service under five presidents, who in the 80s saw Bruno in line to visit the White House just as a tourist, pulled him inside, and Bruno's like, oh, no, no. He goes, no, you come in. Well, he came up to New York City when he was being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, and he just hung around and was there just to make sure everything went okay with Bruno. I mean, that's the kind of people that just appreciated Bruno and loved him. In fact, Art Rooney, early in his career, asked Bruno if he wanted to play line for the Steelers, and he was humbled and gracious about it, but he said wrestling at the time paid like $35,000, and at the time linemen were getting like $6,000, so he obviously chose that path, but was always very grateful. And then he had a chance to meet Coach Tomlin, and him and his brother, they were big fans of Bruno's. In fact, we were in a room at the Dapper Dan, and I was a fly on the wall, and I heard Coach Tomlin's brother say, do you see that? That's Bruno Sammartino. And they were like two kids. They wanted to meet him. They had to ask Art Rooney to introduce him, or Kevin Colbert. It was pretty cool.
Listen, I'm so excited with you doing this. I almost forgot the Steelers story, so I'm glad you didn't forget. The bottom line is, tell the folks about this documentary, and hopefully when they can see it, then we'll come back and talk about something near and dear to your heart, this golf outing. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just hope that people will understand that this is the story that Bruno wanted to tell. He didn't want it in any way Hollywoodized, as he said. He just wanted to share the story. And it's mostly an homage to his mother and appreciation for his father, too, but his family. And it's an immigration story. It's one of the greatest immigration stories because he came from nothing, came here with nothing, and built himself into a champion that entertained the world and was one time the hottest ticket on the planet. And I'm very proud that after all these years, blood, sweat, tears, death, sadness, that finally we'll be able to put this story out the way Bruno wanted it told. It's Bruno Sammartino, the authorized biography.
Mm. God bless you, brother, for doing this, because this story needs to be told, and I hope somehow, some way, it's where it needs to be amongst the masses. Millions of people worldwide understanding why he is still our native son. And obviously, we have loaned him out to the rest of the world to enjoy as much as we have. Larry coming back to talk about his golf outing at Longview Golf Club in just a moment. You know, I got to tell you, I could have spent the rest of the show tonight talking about Bruno. Very gracious. By the way, we're going to podcast this interview this hour, so if you're just tuning in and you want to hear more about the documentary and Larry and his journey with the champ, the one and only Bruno Sammartino, take a listen, and KDK Rewind, of course, as well. But Larry, the golf outing, big deal, incredible track of golf as far as course, best view in Pittsburgh, breathtaking for an incredible charity, of course, cancer, helping people in this region with immediate needs. So tell the folks about that, please.
Yeah, this is the 20th anniversary of the American Cancer Society's Celebrity Golf Classic that I'm hosting at Historic Longview Golf Club in Verona. I want to thank the membership for their hospitality over the last few years. And we've got, you know, because of COVID, significant challenges to many charities. So this is an opportunity to, for them, catch up. They still complete the mission that they have in research and patient services and research that's done here in Pittsburgh. I think that's important for people to understand. But Rob, listen to this celebrity list. You ready for this?
Ready.
Kevin Colbert, Steelers GM. Rocky Blyer. Louis Lips. Craig Bingham. Doran Dickerson. Donnie Iris. Steve Blass. Gus Frerotte. Lanny Fritteri. Jeff Hathorn. Paul Zeiss. Jerry Schmidt. Jimmy Crenn. Craig Patrick. Phil Bourque. Pierre LaRouche. Jay Caulfield. Bob Fompiani. Paul Martino. And we got our own Jim Gracie and PJ Kamanchik, Rick Dayton, D. Rizzo, who's a CAA agent, works with Sid and other great players. Richie Walsh, Kevin Battle, Steve Monteleone from It's About the Warrior Foundation, Will Allen, Ryan Recker, Rich Engler. How about that? Just to name a few.
Yeah, just to name a few. And some of them can play some pretty good golf, too. You know, what was the reason behind this, Lair? What was the catalyst behind doing this? Obviously, the aspect of cancer, but how did this whole thing start?
Well, when I first came to KDKA, Don Euler was one of the original managers of some of our four stations, the music stations, and his wife had been battling breast cancer, and they were looking for a honorary host, and he said, would you mind helping us out? So that's how I got involved 20 years ago. And of course, over the years, every life has been touched by cancer. We're dealing with it now in our family. We're dealing, and everybody is to some degree or knows somebody that is. I've lost both my parents to cancer. My sister lost the love of her life at age 53 to cancer a couple of years ago. So I'm invested in this. You know, just keep fighting. And this is obviously a fun way to help raise much needed funds. So you can go to kdkradio.com/golf, and that'll take you right there with all the information you need. Friday, June 4th, 11:30 shotgun at Longview in Verona.
That is a great course, is it not? It's like one of the courses that gives you the flavor of Pittsburgh back in the day when we were as big as any community or city on the planet.
Oh, yeah, and the members there several years ago, they cut down some trees because originally it's called Longview. You could see these tremendous views of the rivers from all over the golf course, and they kind of reunited that by doing what they did, and it's fantastic. It's one of the treasures for golfers in the region.
Let's finish with Bruno. We got like 4 minutes left. Let's just get back to Bruno. Daryl was talking about this in the Inside Edition report. You know, I've often been fascinated by weightlifting. You know, York Barbell, of course, Pennsylvania, powerlifting. A lot of my friends through the years, it was never one of my things, but I've always admired people. Bodybuilding comes to Arnold, grew up ABC's Wide World of Sports. I had to watch Dave Draper, Franco Colombo. These people were like, they were superheroes to me. I mean, they were like, right off of the cover of the latest DC or Marvel comics. They were big. But Bruno, as far as physical strength, I don't think people realize how strong he was. And Daryl was talking about bench pressing, like, what, 500-plus pounds or something like that, Larry?
Absolutely. And he lifted Haystacks Calhoun, who weighed in. They had at Madison Square Garden, they had a scale that could weigh the animals when they would bring the circus in. So they put him on the elephant. I'm not kidding. And Bruno said he weighed in, and he's quick to remind you that he wasn't 600 pounds. He was 632 pounds. And Vince McMahon Sr. had challenged, you know, you want to get recognized, kid, you got to do something special. So he said he could lift Haystacks Calhoun. And that made a big scene, you know, on the circuit. and everybody was talking about it. So there he is in the garden. And he said, and I love when Bruno told the story. Nobody could tell a story like Bruno. And he would say, I lifted in Haystacks Calhoun. He goes, I went for his leg. I see his leg is so big. And I lifted him. And he said, I got up 632 pounds. And then I walked around a little bit. And I thought, how am I going to put him down? But people couldn't believe it.
Oh my.
So that was Bruno's first big splash. And then he was on his way. And, you know, Buddy Rogers in 53 seconds right. in the garden, he beat him to take the championship, and where he was the ruler for 12 straight years. And, of course, revered after that as the living legend and wrestled on every continent on earth.
Superstar Billy Graham, Andre the Giant. I mean, just – but when we were young, when Jumpin' Johnny DeFazio came into that ring over the top rope and just could do amazing things, these drop kicks that look like something that you would see in another universe, you know, just – I don't know. It was great theater. It was great entertainment, and you're just keeping it alive by doing this. And, you know, I still think of Bruno with his hand being raised high and still the champion of the world, something he held for – what, over a decade? How long did he hold the WWE title? I got about 20 seconds. How long?
12 years, brother.
12 years. Amazing. And Hulk Hogan, I think the longest reign he had was like a year. So he paved the way, and he's still with us today, and his memory will always be with us. But the spirit you're going to be able to see in this documentary. Larry, thank you. God bless. Best of luck with the golf outing, and thank you from the bottom of my heart and my listeners to spend this hour with you. It's absolutely been magical.
You got it, brother. Thank you.
The great Larry Richard.